Today's daf is Tzadi Zayin. We're going to start at the bottom of Tzadi Vav Amud Bet. In yesterday's daf, there was a whole issue about if an animal dies, machmat melacha. Okay, until now we've seen basically the shoal is chayav in basically everything, including ones. But now the Gemara seemed to explain that when it gets to meta machmat melacha, that's not ones. Okay, meaning if you borrow the animal to use for a particular work, and because of the work, the animal dies, well, the shoal is not responsible. Now, why is that? Well, that's what he borrowed the animal to do. And if the animal wasn't capable of doing that,
Then the lender shouldn't have lent it to him,
right? And this goes back to what we kept talking about in Bava Kamma, right? That someone else is more responsible, right? The person who lent it to you should have known that he was putting his animal in danger and that the animal was potentially going to die if you were borrowing it for the purpose of a particular thing, and it died for that particular thing. So now that's assuming that you use the animal in a usual manner of work. So in this case, we're going to start five lines from the bottom. Hahu gavra deshal narga mechavre. He borrows an axe from his friend to use. Itbar, it breaks. Ata lekameh de Rava, they go in front of Rava. Amarle, zil aite sade delav shanipe v'ipater. Bring witnesses that show that you didn't change from what you were doing, from the normal way of using it, right? Obviously, if you use it in some abnormal way and it breaks because of that, then you're responsible. But prove that you did it, you used it in a regular manner. Okay, now the Gemara says, wait a minute. So according to what he's saying, if you can bring witnesses, then you're pater. So now the Gemara asks, Vilei kasade mai? And if there's no witnesses, then what? Then he has to pay? Tashma, let's learn it from this case. Dahu gavra deshal narga mechavre v'itbar. Ata lekameh de Rav amale zil shlimle narga ma'alya. So now they say, look, here's a case where somebody borrowed an axe and it broke, and they go in front of Rav, and Rav had told them, go pay the value of a full, brand new, axe. Okay? So amale Rav kahan, which means if you can't bring witnesses, well, then you have to pay. So, because then we assume that you're at fault somehow. The shoal is at fault. So, Amar le Rav Kahana v'Rav Asi le Rav, Dina Hachi? Is that really the law? Now, what's the issue here? So, Rashi points out that when it comes to, in Bava Kamma, when it comes to damages, what did we say? Gabe Nezigin Tashlume Nezek. What does that mean? You have to pay how much damage you caused. Now, when the axe is broken, the materials are still worth something, which is in Bava Kamma, we talked about it with the animal. So what do? You return the dead animal, which has value, and then you add to it to get back up to the value that it was. But according to Rav, you have to pay a full new axe. It doesn't make any sense. You should be able to return the axe as is. That's what it makes it sound like. You could keep the axe, the broken one, and then you have to pay a new one. So according to what Rav Kahana and Rav Asi are saying is, hey, Rav, that doesn't make any sense what you're saying, because really he should return the broken axe and pay the difference. Okay? Shatik Rav. Rav was silent. He didn't know what to say. They basically stumped him. And then we say, V'hilchatak Rav Kahana v'Rav Asi d'mahadu le'tavre u'mimalya le'dmei mana. Okay? He returns the broken pieces and then gives them back. Okay? So we now have two cases. The axe broke while using it, while he was working with it. So if he can prove that he used it in a regular manner, he has witnesses, then he's pater, bechlal, because that's meitah machmat malacha. But if he can't prove that it was meitah machmat malacha, standard malacha, and that maybe he actually used it in the wrong way that caused it to break, then he has to basically return the broken item and pay the difference. Okay, why Rav thought otherwise, it was really unclear, okay? But in the end, Rav kind of concedes to them that they're right. Hahu gavra deshal davla michavre. He borrows a bucket, a dli. Itbar, it breaks. Ata lekameh de Rav Papa. Amarlei, aite sade delo shanit be, v'ipater. Again, he says, bring witnesses that you didn't do anything different, and you'll be patur. So that's just another case where we see that Rav Papa paskin the same way as we saw before. Hahu gavra, here we're going to have an interesting case now. Hahu gavra deshal shunra mechavre. You remember what a shunra is? From Chagadya, right? The cat. Okay, he borrows a cat from his friend. What's the assumption? He borrows the cat for what purposes? To eat the mice. Okay, he's got a mice problem. He borrows the cat so the cat will eat the mice. But something bizarre happens. Chavir ale achbere vikatluhu. All the mice gang up together. There's a huge influx of mice. And they attack the cat and kill the cat. Okay, now, is this meta machmat malacha? Or not. Okay, right, so it's a funny case. Yativ Rav Ashi became a baile. Ki agavna. Yativ Rav Ashi came become a baile, and he questioned, and he thought like this. Ki agavna mai. Like this, what do we say? Ki meta machmat malacha dame, o lo. Is this meta machmat malacha, or is it not? Okay? So, Amar le Rav Mordechai le Rav Ashi. So Rav Mordechai says to Rav Ashi, "Hachi Amar Avimi Mehagronia Mishmei Derava." Okay, if you thought that was funny, this is an even interesting one, more interesting line. Gavra Dinashe Katluhu Lodina Velo Dayana. He makes the comparison. Now, there's a bunch of different ways of interpreting this. It's a little bit of an unclear statement. A man that women killed. Okay. Now, what's that case? I'm going to give you two explanations. One is the Ritva, one is Rabbeinu Chananel. The Ritva says, would you ever expect a bunch of women to gang up and kill a man? Right? Unlikely. Just like you would never have expected those achbarim to kill the cat. Okay? Which means that what? That the Shoel never had any expectation when he borrowed it that this would happen. When he accepts Onsim, what does he say? I'm accepting upon myself that if armed robbers come and attack, and if the, right? Another basic, obvious Onsim that would happen. But he was never maleh al hadaat that this was going to happen, that the achbarim were going to kill the cat. And if he never expected it, well, then he never accepted upon himself those kind of damages. Okay? The assumption is he's accepting normal Ones, but not abnormal Ones. So that's the Ritva's way of understanding it. And then you'd have to explain like this. So Gavra Dinashe Katlua, right? It's like a case where women gang up and kill a man. And therefore, Lodina Velodayana. What is Lodina Velodayana? In our case, there's no din, there's no dayan, meaning no one's going to be able to collect money from this Shoel because of that. Okay? Everyone's going to agree that's what it means. That no one can accept money from the Shoel. But the question's going to be, okay, why? So according to the Ritva, the reason is that the Shoel never accepted responsibility for that because he never thought that that is something that would happen. Okay? The second interpretation is Rabbeinu Chananel. He says, going back to what I referenced earlier about that we kept talking about in Bava Kama, is that the other person's more responsible. Okay? So what's this? Gavra Dinashe Kataluhu, he says, right, that a man, okay, you're going to like this one less, a man that women can kill must be a very weak man, okay? Likewise, a cat that can be killed by achbarim is a weak cat, meaning that who's at fault? The person who lent him the cat is at fault. The person who lent him the cat should have lent him a strong enough cat that could withstand, you know, that could kill the mice. But a cat that gets killed by mice, what kind of a cat is that? And therefore, the responsibility shifts, okay? It's not that it wasn't right. Again, the Ritva said it's that the Shoel never accepted onus in that kind of way because he never expected that that type of thing would happen and therefore he didn't accept responsibility for that. This is saying it's not that he's not responsible, it's that the other person is more responsible. The responsibility shifts, right? In the first case, it's just saying he never accepted responsibility at all. The second case is saying someone's at fault here, it's just the other person's at fault, okay? In other words, it's his fault for lending him a cat that's so weak, that like a man who gets killed by women is so weak. Likewise, a cat that gets killed by mice is so weak, and therefore, Lodina Velodayana, no one's going to make the Shoel pay in that case. Okay. Iga de Amre, a second version of the story of what exactly happened, wasn't that the mice all ganged up on the cat and killed the cat, but what happened? Okay, both readings are going to assume that there was an unusual amount of mice in this case. Okay? So what happens if there's an unusual amount of mice? So either the mice gang up and kill the cat, which is a bizarre scenario. This one maybe is more likely. Ikad amre achil achbere tuva v'chavil umet. He ate so many mice that he died from overeating. Okay? And then the question is the Shoel responsible because he basically brought the cat to a place where there were so many mice that the cat, right? Remember, it's Meza Machmat Malacha, so again, he got the cat to kill the mice. On the other hand, maybe there were so many mice that it wasn't reasonable to expect the cat to be able to eat all those mice and survive. Yatev Rav Ashi b'kama ayin ba ki agafna mai, right? So again, according to this version, right? Same thing as last time. After the cat ate all the mice and died, Rav Ashi said, well, what would be the case here? So Amar le Rav Mordechai le Rav Ashi, hacha amar avimi mehagronya. Okay, this one's going to be even worse. It's reading, gavra denashe katzluhu lodina velo dayana. What's the case here now? A man that from so much, having so much sex with a woman, dies. Okay, that's the way the Mefreshim explain this. Okay, Rashi says, ba'al b'ilot harbe v'meit. Okay, from overindulging in sexual relations. Lodina velodayana, right? In other words, are you gonna, you're not going to make the woman responsible for that, right? So you're not going to make, So again, you would say the same two things, right? Either the ritva would say, kishitato, that it was so unexpected. The Shoal never thought this would happen, so he never accepted responsibility, right? Just like the women never thought the man was going to die from that. Or like Rabbi Nuchananel, who says that the other person's more responsible, right? It's the man who's responsible in this case, okay, for overindulging. And therefore, it's the owner. It shifts to the owner and not to the, right? In other words, again, the cat should have known that he shouldn't have eaten, right? He should be able to control himself, and therefore the responsibility shifts to his owner and not to the borrower. Okay. Amar Rava. Hai man debai lemishal midi michavre v'lipater. If somebody, now we're going to give, okay, this is the loopholes in halacha or how to avoid halachic scenarios. So, if you want to borrow something from your friend and become patur, now, how do you become patur when you borrow? Remember, a borrower is always responsible, even for ones, except for, we just said, not meitzeh machmat malacha, or not maybe some unexpected, right, again, you could say it like this, not some unexpected thing that he never would have accepted responsibility, or like Rabbi Nochana, not for something that the owner is more responsible for, if he lends him, you know, something that's about to break. But we also learned that there's no responsibility if it's sheila bebalim. Remember, which means that if the person you borrow from is working for you in some way, then you're patur, because that's according to the Torah, Im ba'alavimo, shalem is shalem, only if the ba'alim are not with him, but im ba'alavimo, if the owners are with him, then, meaning, if the owners at the time, remember how we explained it, at the time of the deal, right, that I decide to borrow something from you, if you are working for me at the same time, then I'm not fully subjugated to you, and therefore I don't owe you everything. I don't owe you owns him. So now, if you want to borrow something from a friend and you want to become patur, what should you do? Neimale eshkia maya. Say to the guy at the time that you're borrowing, go get me some water, okay? Dehavishe le babalim, because then he'll be working for you. He's doing something for you at the same time, which means that's shele babalim, okay? Now, what if you're the flip guy, you're the other guy? You lend someone an item, or let's say you lend me something. And I say to you, can you go get me some water? I assume they mean like draw me water from the well, not just like fill up a cup of water from the faucet. Okay? So I say, draw me water from the well, and I'm going to borrow your ox. Okay? So now that will be called Sheila Bebalim, because you're working for me also. You're doing something for me. You're serving me, so to speak. So what would you do if you were smart? If you eat pikeachu, and you don't want to fall into that trap, right? That it's going to be Sheila Bebalim, I'm going to be Pacha from Ones. Neimale shal bedisha v'hadar eshkiecha. Say first, you borrow it. What's this bedisha? Oh, beresha? Oh, that's so funny. Mine says bedisha. Bedisha. Right, so it makes sense, shal beresha.
It's different. In the text of the Gemara, it says Rasha, and over here on the translation, it says Dalet.
Okay, well, Dalet and Resha, as you can imagine, get switched here and there. But it's strange. Usually there's a note on the side or something. Anyway, it makes sense, though. You say, listen, you say to me, borrow it first, and afterwards I'll get you water. Remember, because if you say, afterwards I'll get you water, then that's not Sheila Babalim, because it has to be at the time of the Sheila you were serving me. So if you say, I'll do it for you later, then you're not serving me at the time of the borrowing. And that's how you'll avoid the problem. Okay, I'm a Rava. Now, Rava's going to list a whole bunch of people. Again, there's a few different interpretations of this, but the assumption is that all these people work and get paid by the municipality. Okay? However, they do work that affects individuals. Okay? Right? If somebody works for the municipality and they clean up your garbage and they, right? They're in a sense, they work for you, but they're not getting paid by you. So the question is, when it's Sheila Bebalim, if they're doing something for you, right? Are they considered that they're working for you? And there's going to be two different interpretations. One is going to claim that if they're doing work for you at that same moment, even though they're getting paid by the municipality, that's one way of reading it, or maybe by the nature of the fact that they're paid by the municipality to work for you, whether or not they're working for you personally at that moment or not, maybe Bichlal is considered Sheila Bebalim because they are serving you, so to speak. Okay? So, here's a whole list of people who get paid by the city, okay? Mikri Dardike, the teachers of the children. Shatala, this is, in I think, an aris of the city.
Gardener.
Right, okay, like the gardener of the city, okay? Tavcha, okay, the butcher. Umna, he's Mekiz Dam, he's the blood letter. Safar Mata, that's the person who cuts hair. Okay, all these people, when they're working, again, there's a machloket. Does it mean when they're working specifically for you, even if they're not getting paid by you? It's a little strange to think that not all these people get paid by the individual using them. But, okay, let's just assume. So while they're working, it's Sheila Bebalim Damu, okay? Even though you're not necessarily paying them. Okay, so some people say B'shata Vidatayu is means while they're working specifically for you, like they're gardening right outside your house, let's say, you know, the area by near your house. Or maybe it means just when they're doing any work in the city, since they're getting paid by, let's say, taxpayers' money, right? And it's all your money going to pay them, so to speak. So maybe it's considered Sheila Bebalim, even if they're not exactly working for you. So this is a machloket about how to read that. Amrei Rabbanan L'Rava. Shalan Mar. Shayalan Mar. All right. So the rabbi said to Rava, Shayalan Mar, we want you to lend us stuff. Why do we want you to lend us stuff? Because if you lend us stuff, right, you're the teacher, Rava. And what did we just learn? Mikrei Dardike, right? If he's teaching them, then they're not responsible, right? He's working for them. Right? Therefore, he's subjugated to them, in which case, when they borrow something from him, they won't be responsible for onus. So they said, hey, Rava, why don't you lend us stuff, because we know we won't be responsible. Okay? So, ikpid, he got very upset with them. Amarle, lafkue mamonai kabayitu? What, you want to make me lose my money? You want to borrow my stuff and then not be responsible for onsim? That's not very nice. So, what does he say to them? Adraba, you guys have the halacha all mixed up. You think that I'm subjugated to you because I teach you, right? I work for you. But it's the opposite. Atun shelitun li. You guys are subjugated to me. Why? This is a very interesting theory. De'ilu ana matze ishtamute lechu mi mesechta le mesechta. Atun lo matzitu lishtamute. He says, I can decide what I'm teaching you. That means that, right? If you don't want to learn Bava Metzia, tough luck. I'm teaching Bava Metzia right now. That means that if you come to my class, you're subjugated to me because I'm the one who determines what I'm teaching. So I'm not beholden. It's like him saying, I'm not beholden to any one of you. You're beholden to me. In which case, if you borrow from me, it's not Sheila Bebalim. Okay? Because I don't work for you. Okay? If I worked for you, what is he basically saying? What does it mean to that we say, I'm subjugated to you, that you tell me what I'm supposed to do for you, but you don't tell me what I'm supposed to do for you because I have freedom of choice. I can choose whatever I want to teach you, and therefore you're subjugated to me. And what is he basically saying? That if I lend you something, then, right, if you lend me something, I'm not responsible to pay damages, okay, for onsim. It's the opposite. So now, what does the Gemara say? Velohi. But it's not, he's not 100% right. It doesn't mean it's not right at all. Usually, velohi means he's not right at all. Now they're going to make an interesting distinction. If you remember, before we even read inside, there were these 2 months a year. We mentioned this a few weeks ago. There were these 2 months a year, the Yarche Kala, before the Chagim, where everyone would come and they would learn the halachot pertaining to the particular Chag before Pesach. And it's not every Chag, but before Pesach and before Sukkot. it'd be a month, everyone would take off. It was the time when it wasn't the harvest season, so, you know, or it wasn't season where they needed to be planting. So it was a good month. Everybody took off and they went. So now, what does the rabbi teach during that time? Chagim-related material, meaning he doesn't have a choice what he gets to teach that time. So therefore, what does it say? Ihu shalalahu b'yoma dekala. Ihu shi'ilalei b'shar yome. They make a distinction. When it's those 2 months of the Yarchei Kala, then he's subjugated to them because he's working for them and he has no choice what he can teach them. He has to teach them about the Chagim. But when it's the rest of the year, they're subjugated to him because he has a freedom of choice what he can teach. Because he has freedom of choice what he can teach, now obviously you can take this to all sorts of places, right? If the worker... Now, this goes back, if we think about the sixth parak, if you remember, we learned about a socher et ha-poalim, and let's say he chooses to change the color to a different color, right? The workers don't generally have choice. You hire someone to color your thing black. If he colors it red, so he has to pay you, right? He messed up your item. So anyway, so here he's saying, I'm a different kind of worker because I have freedom of choice. Okay, and therefore I'm not subjugated to.
Sounds like they're also making a point about how teachers are different than anybody else.
You think he's trying to put teachers in a different category.
I'm not trying to cheat their rabbi.
Right. Well, first of all, it's a little bit strange, the whole thing that they go and tell their rabbi, oh, lend us stuff. I almost can imagine the scenario that they learned the halacha from him, maybe, and they're trying to say, oh, well, this means that I don't know if they were really, right, I don't know if they really were planning to do this to him, but they were trying to say, oh, according to what you're saying then, so if you lent us something, we wouldn't be responsible at all for it. And almost like they're trying to say, you know, they're trying to, like, play around. Oh, either they're being wise guys, or maybe they're just really, you know, asking legitimately, although it's not said in a question format, but
it's the same
anyway.
With the other workers as well, because the gardener, you tell the gardener what the gardener has to plant certain things at certain places. There's not, the gardener doesn't say, well, I think over here I'll plant this.
Right, he doesn't have freedom of choice.
Neither does the bloodletter.
Right, none of those people really have freedom of choice, right? And the rabbi does. So in other words, another thing could be doing, trying to show the teachers, like Shari's saying, are in a different category than any other worker. And they're not to be treated like a typical worker. Okay. Amrule, wait 1 second. No. Okay. Mireimar bar Chanina, Oger kudnaite bechozai. So Mireimar, the son of Chanina, rented a chamor to Bechozai is the city, right? Nafik lidluye to una bahadayu. Right, he lent it to a bunch of people in the city of Bechozai. Okay? He rented it to them. Nafik lidluye to una bahadaihu. He went then to help them upload, you know, load the load onto the donkey. Which sounds like he was working, right? If he was working for them, then again, what are we going to say? It's bibalim and their patur. Now, it's a rental case here. Pashuba umet. Then they were negligent with the animal, right? And obviously, all shomer mechayevim pshia. And he died. So, atu lekamei de Rava, chayvinu. So they went before Rava, and Rava said, they're chayvim. Amrulei Rabbanan l'Rava, pshia bebalim hi. What do you mean? This is pshia bebalim. Do you remember we had a whole machloket? Is pshia bebalim patur, right, or not? Do we say this whole patur of bebalim applies across the board, or does it only apply in ones, or maybe Gdeva Vaveda for Shomer Sechar, but doesn't get all the way to Pshia, right? That was the whole thing. Is Mikra Nidrash Lefanav Lefnei Panav, does it go back 2 sections or only 1 section, right? 2 sections would be to the Shomer Chinam where it discusses Pshia. So if they're negligent and the owner was working for them, is there a Patur or not? So they say, Pshia Babalim Hu, and therefore they should be Patur. Ichsif. Okay, Rava was embarrassed. Remember we saw this exact same type of case earlier? I actually meant to check if it was the same. I didn't think it was Rava there. Let me just look. It was in, right, it was in Pei Aleph, and it was Rav Papa. It was that case with the guys, the 5 guys who did the bread all the time together. You remember we came across it twice. They baked the bread every day. A different guy baked bread, and one day they asked one guy to bake the bread, and then he says, "Wash my cloak." And then they were negligent with it, and then the same basic. I just wanted to check. Now I see it was Rav Papa. It wasn't Rav. I was curious if it was the same person, but the same basic thing happens. Rav Papa paskins their chayav, and then they say, "Isn't this pshia bebalim?" Okay, and then they said Lisof, right? And then he was all embarrassed, and then it's like a little weird. Why didn't he think of that? So then Lisofi gali milta dilemesar tuuna huna denafik. Okay, what happened? In the end, they realized that when he went to help them load up the stuff on the donkey, they were mistaken. He didn't go to help load the stuff on the donkey, which would make it a Baalim case. What was he doing? He was checking up on them to make sure that what happened. He rented them the donkey, and he wanted to make sure, if you remember, there was a whole thing about how much of a load you could put on a donkey and what's too much of a load, that if the animal dies, they'll be responsible. So he went to check how much of a load they were putting on the donkey to see, he was just checking up on them. He was like keeping his tabs on them. He certainly wasn't helping them, in which case, it wasn't a Baalim case in the end. Okay? Now, the problem with this is going to be what? This is only if you hold the Pshia Babalim is Patur. This story makes sense. Mishum Hachi Ichsuf. And that explains why Rava was all embarrassed when they said, hey, didn't you realize it was Pshia Babalim? But Ella Lamanda Mar Chayav. But according to the one who says that Pshia Babalim is Chayav, how are they going to read this story? It doesn't make any sense. So what if it's Pshia Babalim? Pshia Babalim is Chayav. So why should Rava have been embarrassed? By his Psaka, my Ichsuf. So Lo Mifsha Pashuba, Ella Ignuve Ignuf. Umeta kidarka. So now they say, it must not have been a Pshia case. It was the exact same answer we gave in the last time. It must not have been a Pshia case. What happened? As the animal did die, but how did the animal die? It had to have died in a way that the socher would be responsible. What would that be? It was stolen from the people who rented it, because people who rent, again, assuming you say he's like a shomer sachar, or chayev in Geneva Vaveda, and then when it was in the hands of the ganav, it happened to have died. That's why he didn't get the animal back, right? They had to pay the value because it was stolen. Okay. Ve'umeta kedarka be'ganav, and the ganav's house have it. Va'atu l'kamei de'rava v'chayvinu, and then Rava came and said, you're chayav, and amr le'rabana l'rava, Geneva be'balim hi, isn't this Geneva be'balim, in which case they should be patur. Ichsuf, and then he was embarrassed by this. And then Lesofi Gali Milton to the Mesa to Unuhu Denafik, right? And then it becomes clear that it wasn't a case of Baalim at all, right? It was a case of Gneva, it wasn't a case of Baalim. Okay, so we have all different parameters that change. First they thought they were Poshea and killed the animal, and then right, and then and they thought it was Babalim, and then it turns out it wasn't Babalim. The second option is, no, it wasn't that they killed the animals. The animal did die, but it didn't die in their hands, it died in the Ganavim's hands, meaning it was Geneva, and Geneva Babalim, everyone would agree, would be Patur. We learned that the Shomer Sachar, right, Geneva of the Shomer Sachar is equal to the Ones by a Shoel, and therefore, that's the case. Okay. New Mishnah. Hashoel et hapara sh'ala chatzi yom uschara chatzi yom. Okay, what if you borrow a para, okay, but you borrow it for half a day and the rest of the day you rent it? Okay, so now what are we going to have an issue of? If something happens to the animal that's ones, only a shoel's chayav. And we have to prove, right, which time of day, right, I say I'm going to borrow it for half a day and I'll pay you rent for half the day, right? It's basically like saying I'm going to take your animal for the day, but I'm going to pay you half the amount of a rental, and part of the day you'll give it to me for free, and part of the day I'll pay for it. Okay, that's basically okay. We're going to see a bunch of cases like this. Sha'ala hayom uschara l'machar. You say today I'm borrowing it, tomorrow I'll pay you for my use of it. Okay, sachar achat v'sha'al achat. I'm taking two animals. One I'm going to pay for, and one I'm not going to pay for. Umeta. Okay, and then one of them dies. Hamashil omer shu'ula meta. Or biyom shaita shu'ula meta, or bisha'a shaita shu'ula meta, right? This refers to all three cases, right? So what happens? The mashil comes and says, now this is going to go, we've learned this before, about one is going to make a bari claim, and one is going to make a shema claim, okay? A bari means vadai, right? I know that this is the case, and shema means I don't really know, but it could be that, okay? So the one who lent it out, or also rented it out, says, right, it was, right, if it was two, it actually goes the reverse, right? Mm-hmm. The two animals, it was the one that was borrowed that died, and therefore you owe me. It was on the day that it was borrowed that it died, therefore you owe me. And it was the hour, right? It was the first half of the day and not the second half of the day that it died. V'hala omer, and the other guy says, right, the borrower, eini yodea, I don't know. So according to the Mishnah, he's chayav, he has to pay. Okay, now this goes back to, right, this is bari v'shema bari adif. However, what's the other side? Hamotzi mechavero alav harayon. Now you have to remember, bari claim doesn't always mean he doesn't have witnesses. Okay, and how are we allowing him to be motzi, right? Who's got the chazkat mamon? The shoel. So yet we're taking the money out of the shoel's hands, even though it's money mamon and butal b'safek, right? If you remember, there's a famous machloket, sumchus and chachamim. Sumchus says chokim, we split it 50-50. Chachamim say hamotzi mechavero alav haraya, which here would be the mashil would have to prove it. Yet, since it's bari v'shema, we're going to say that bari is adif. Okay, and the mashil is going to be able to get his money back. Hasocher omer schura meta. Okay, let's say now it's not the case, but the socher now, the guy who rented it, says, listen, when I rented it, it died. On the day it was, right, out of the two, it was the one who was rented that died. B'yom shaita schura meta, right, it was the day that it was rented out that it died. Bisha'a shaita schura meta, it was the hour, right, it was that part of the day where it was rented that it died. So the shoel is now the bari claim. V'hala omer eini yodea, and the mashil says, I have no idea. Patur. Okay, so then obviously he's going to be patur because both he has chazka mamon and he has the bari claim. Ze omer shu'ula v'ze omer schura. What if they both give a bari claim? Then yishava ha-socher sheschura meta. Okay, then what happens? The socher, in order to become patur, he has to swear. Okay, so he swears, if they both make a bari claim, then in order to exempt himself, the socher has to swear that it was the one that I rented that died, and not the borrowed, or whatever the other. At this point, the Mishnah isn't going into all three cases, but it's obvious. Hasocher, shurei shava. Okay. Zeomer eini yodea v'zeomer eini yodea. What if neither of them know? Then, yachloku. Okay, which sounds like they're holding like sumchus, right? Because if nobody knows anything, that's mamon and mutal b'safek. And according to sumchus, cholkim. We split 50-50. Okay, which is not the typical, right? Usually we say we paskan like chachamim. But clearly the Mishnah here holds that we paskan like sumchus and yachloku. So shmat mina. So now the Gemara wants to infer from here that when it comes to this, when it comes to bari v'shema, bari adif, it's not so clear cut. Not everybody agrees. So it seems like our Mishnah is saying bari v'shema, bari adif, which means that it's paskening one way in that machloket emoraim. So when it comes to these emoraim, right, what they would, this would, this Mishnah would support the emoraim who say that bari v'shema, bari adif. So shmat mina. Now, where do they have this machloket? In a different case, mana li biyadcha. If you say you owe me money, right? Mana li biyadcha. I have money in your hands. You owe me money, basically. V'hala omer eini yodea, and the guy says I don't know. Chayav, right? So that's what you would assume from our Mishnah. That you, if you apply this to a case of bari v'shema when it came to money, where I claim you owe me money, and you say, I don't know, that you'd have to pay, right? Now, if we say that that would be the case, that would be an assumption from our Mishnah. You could easily make that assumption. So therefore, they say, lematavetiyuv ted Rav Nachman. That would then pose a question to Rav Nachman, and we'll see not only Rav Nachman, also Rabbi Yochanan, okay? Because they argue, de'itmar manali biyadcha v'ala omer eini yodea. If the guy says, you owe me money, and the other one says, eini yodea. Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, amre chayav. Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda say, listen, if you say you don't know, and the other guy's bari, so bari v'shama bari adif. Rav Nachman, Rabbi Yochanan, amre patur. By the way, this is just an interesting thing. Rabbi Yochanan preceded Rav Nachman chronologically. So it's very odd that it says Rav Nachman and Rabbi Yochanan. So some of the person explain that why is it because Rav Nachman was a Bavli and Rabbi Yochanan was from Eretz Israel, and maybe they didn't know that Rabbi Yochanan said it till later. So they used to attribute it to Rav Nachman and then they added on and also Rabbi Yochanan when they found out that Rabbi Yochanan also said that. But anyway.
Maybe they just prioritized Bavlim.
Or maybe they prioritized Bavlim because they're Bavlim, right? It's also possible. Okay, so Rav Nachman, Rabbi Yochanan, Amrei Patur. Kedam Rav Nachman. Okay, so Patur. Tof. So now we're assuming that this Mishnah provides a question to Rav Nachman, which means that Rav Nachman has to explain how could he go against an explicit Mishnah, right? It's always a problem. A number one can't go against explicit Mishnah. So now what's the answer they give? Kigon sheyesh eshek shvua b'nehem. Hachanami kigon sheyesh eshek shvua b'nehem. In some other case, which unfortunately we don't really know what other case it is, but it was said that the Rav Nachman said his statement in a case where there was a shvua between them. Okay, we'll explain in a minute what this means, what the shvua could be. It's a case where he's supposed to take a shvua. The guy, right, I say, you owe me money, and you say, I don't know. Now, in that case, if you needed to take a shvua on that, what would be? Can you take a shvua on that? You can't, because what are you going to swear? Right? I swear I don't know. So first of all, you actually can say, I swear I don't know. And that's called a shvuat hesed. But we have to assume that this Mishnah, okay, that's like a shvuat chachamim tiknu, that if you say I don't know, there's certain situations where we make you take a shvuat hesed that says I don't know. But they assume this Mishnah must have been before that, okay, according to this explanation, before they made this takana that you can actually take a shvuat hesed any odeh. But if you don't any odeh, then you can't take a shvua, right? So you're supposed to take a shvua, but you can't. And in that case, Rav Nachman says, and Rav Yochanan would say, you're chayav. If it's a case where you're supposed to take a shvua and you can't, we'll get to it in a minute, what would be that case? But let's say it's a case where you're supposed to take a shvua and you can't, where, you know, the halacha is mechayev otcha shvua, and you can't because you don't know. So in that case, you're going to be chayav. If it's not a case like our Mishnah, right? I'm sorry. If it's, right, so he would say, one second, right. Rav Nachman and Rabbi Yochanan say in general, you're patur, right? But they say in a case where there's an esek shvua, then you're going to be chayav. Because you're supposed to take a shvua, and since you can't, you're going to have to pay. Okay? So therefore, what do they say? Our Mishnah is not a problem. Because we'll say, when our Mishnah says you're chayav, and bari v'shem bari adith, it's a case where you would have had to take a shvua. And since you don't know and you can't take a shvua, then you're chayav. I think it'll be more clear in 1 minute when we see what would be this case. Hechi dami esek shvua, kederava, da'ama rava, mana li biyadcha, v'ala omer, ein lecha biyadi, ela chamishim, v'hashar eini yodea, mitoch she'eno yachol lishava, mishalem. Okay, what's this case? This is our classic case. What do we call it? Mode b'miktzat. Remember, mode b'miktzat, you have to swear. If I say you owe me 100 and you say I only owe you 50, you have to swear, right? You have to swear that you don't owe the other 50, because what are we worried? That you just don't want to pay me back yet, and right, and you didn't want to be kofer on the whole thing because it would have been embarrassing, you know, because I lent you money, I was so nice to you, you wouldn't be so chutzpahdik as to say no, I don't owe you anything, but you didn't want to say I owe you the whole thing because you actually don't have the money in hand and you want to just push me off. So therefore, modib mikzah is mechayev shvua. So what if it's a modib mikzah a little bit different, right? That you say, I know I owe you 50, but I don't know anything about the other 50. That's a Shema case, right? And I say, Vada, you owe me 100. So that's a Bari V'Shema case where even Rav Nachman and Rabbi Yochanan would agree that you're Chayav. Because now the Halacha is Mechayev, right? In other words, we have this 100 that I say, Bari, you owe me 100. You say, 50, I know I owe you. And 50... is Shema. I have no idea. So the 50 of the Shema, right, because you were modeh b'miktzat in the first 50, you have to take a shvua on the second 50. What's the problem? In classic modeh b'miktzat, you could take a shvua because you generally say, I owe you 50, I don't owe you the other 50. But if you say, I don't know if I owe you the other 50, then you're chayav a shvua on that. And then we're going to say that bari v'shema, in a case where there's a chiyuv shvua, since you can't take the shvua because you don't know, therefore, since you already have a chiyuv shvua upon you, we're going to make you pay. Okay? And in that case, you're chayav. So Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan, who think that in general, Shema is not chayav, your Shema is patur, even if you're, right, you say any odea, you're still patur, it's not, even though there's a bari against you. In this case, when there's chiyuv shvua alecha, you're chayav. So how will Rav Nachman explain our Mishnah? He would say that our Mishnah is also a case where there's a chiyuv shvua. So we'd have to, what would be the case, right? Well, you'd say that there was somehow, right? He would say, what would be the case? He would say, I'm modeh that I owe you, right? What would be the case here? I owe you part of, right? It, maybe there was a case where there were two, where there were two animals, and one I agree with Shu'ula, but the other one not, or somehow he was chayav a shvua on part of it, okay? Or maybe, right, you can't say it died part of the day. Was that, right? It would have to say, let me just think, let me just see if it says, I forget exactly what it would be here.
You don't know when it died.
Right.
But either way, this is problematic.
Mishnatenu, right.
This encourages you to say, I don't owe you anything, you have to pay back any debt.
Right. So the Gemara is going to explain it later, what exactly the case is in our Mishnah, right? Okay. So it's going to explain it later. But that there's somehow a Shavua, and because there's a Shavua, and he can't take the Shavua, that's why he's going to be Chayav. But in a regular case of Baruch Hashem, he would say is patur. What were you saying, Naomi?
That I'm saying that it's problematic because if I owe you money, it's better for me to say I don't owe you anything rather than pay up half of it and say I don't owe you the rest.
Right, so you're saying it motivates people to lie entirely and say any odeya. Right, that's
get
true. I mean, then there's a whole discussion. I didn't get into this, but there's, you know, dargot of, is there a shema, is it a bari garua, a bari tov? In other words, how, right, how we how we determine how sure you are in your claim and how suffic you are. There's all different gradations. It's complicated. As you can see, the daf is very short because the mafreshim are very long on it. But anyway, you know, these are always these interesting sfeiko cases we're going to continue dealing with it tomorrow.